today on Real Radio.
But we are to take a stand against evil. You see, well, Jack, if the Bible says that the days are going to worsen, then why don't we just relax and let evil take its course? Because Jesus has commanded us, the Word of God has commanded us, that we need to be salt and light.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his topical series called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? As we're coming close to the conclusion of this collection of studies, Pastor Jack's delivering a mini-series called Keeping Your Focus. Now, the life transforming that occurs when we receive the Son of God changes the way we see things. Our worldview shifts from an earthly worldview to an eternal worldview. In other words, we begin to see things from a perspective of eternity, keeping our eyes on the prize, as they say. That's what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs addresses now in his study called Keeping Your Focus.
Keeping your focus in these last days. What does it mean as a believer to be staying focused and staying on target, staying on mission, as it were, regarding being an effective and strong believer in these last days? What should that look like? And church, I got to tell you, I think you already know this, especially those of you who attend this church, that there's a culture out there that is godless and that is of the spirit, listen, that is of the spirit of what the Bible warns in 1 John of the Antichrist. There's the Antichrist, the person. There is the spirit of Antichrist that the Christian contends with every day in life. And so as we get into our study tonight, keep something in mind. The Bible tells us that the days are going to worsen, but we are to take a stand against evil. You see, well, Jack, if the Bible says that the days are going to worsen, then why don't we just relax and let evil take its course? Because Jesus has commanded us, the Word of God has commanded us, that we need to be salt and light. We need to stand for what's right, even though we know that the days will become more and more evil. In other words, if we're going to go down, God would have us go down swinging in defense of righteousness, in defense of godliness. And that's a very important thing to realize, especially for you young people tonight. You're on the high school and college campuses. You're contending with a worldview that is extremely anti-biblical, anti-God, anti-Christ. So as we look at these things, all tonight, keep in mind that we are to be focused as believers. And so we're looking at that, keeping your focus, and how do we get from here to heaven? Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and then we'll jump on over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul said, I beseech you. That word again means I urge you. I personally challenge you. I plead with you, brethren, Christians, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, the total person of who we are, as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed, that is that worldly system, to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, think about the Olympics now, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Part one in our message, we looked at this concerning keeping our focus. It was our one and only point last week together, and it was being focused on the fact that we are to be enduring as Christians. Enduring. That means it's going to be tough. And we looked at four things regarding that. Number one was that we are to be enduring the past. That's vital. As Christians, we are now new people, and yet we deal with the memory of our past, and we are to fight the memory of our past, but at the same time, we are to be strengthened by what God redeems out of our past, that all of our hindrances and all of our setbacks in life, now in Christ as a Christian, God makes us stronger as believers in this day and age. Secondly, we looked at the fact that we need to be enduring the disappointments of life. We are to endure them. God takes those disappointments and builds character in us. Thirdly, we looked at the fact that we are to be enduring hardships themselves. That if you and I are going to be a Christian in a world as this world is, we are going to be the enemy of a system that is opposite to God. And the Bible tells us that it's through much trials and difficulty and personal tribulation that we'll inherit the kingdom of God. And then finally, we looked at the fact that we need to be enduring the life of a believer. We are to put up, and I love it, we are to put up with the life of difficulty in this world. Why? Jesus said, listen, don't get too discouraged. Don't get bummed out because number one, Jesus said they hated him long before they hated us. And that we, the moment we raise our hands to accept Christ or to stand for Christ or to stand for what the Bible teaches and believes in, you have aligned yourself with a whole host of demonic powers that are roaming this globe, if you think about it. But the Bible tells us in 1 John 4:4 that we are not to be discouraged because greater is he that is in us, that is a reference to the Holy Spirit, than he that is in the world. So here we go now. Here we go. Pick up your notes and start writing them down. It's point number two. Keeping your focus is this, that we focus on persevering. Persevering. How so? Well, number one, this way, determining right now, church, to stay close to Jesus. Will you write that down? This is the most critical thing I can give you at a time like this. That number one, we know that as believers, we are to persevere, not give up, not quit. How many of you ever feel like quitting? Okay, will you raise your hands? Yes. If you are advancing, you are also having contend with the thought of, am I making a difference? Is anything happening? Does my life, or maybe you're involved in some sort of a ministry at work or your neighborhood, are the things that I'm standing for making a difference? Is life being changed around me? You are going to suffer a sense of, I want to quit. I want to give up. Now, Lisa is always, my wife, an encouragement Sunday afternoon. I suffer from PMS every Sunday afternoon. Do you know what PMS stands for? It's post-ministry syndrome. Because after Sunday service, I'm so bummed. I'm so discouraged because I should have said this. I shouldn't have said that. And you know what I'm saying? It's hard. But listen, God tells us that we need to focus on the fact as Christians in the world that we are going to be persevering. It's not an option. We've got to continue on, and we've got to stay close to Jesus. That is our first step in success in walking with him. Throughout the Bible, you know that there are stories and there are events throughout Scripture that are for our learning, for our edification, that people who started with God didn't finish with God. I think of the children of Israel who left Egypt. They started with God, but the Bible says that generation that departed from Egypt because of unbelief did not enter into the promised land. Remember what it said? That all of those unbelievers, isn't that amazing? They were unbelievers while they had a pillar of fire and a cloud. They didn't believe that God would get them into the promised land. They murmured and complained, and the Bible says because of unbelief, they perished in the wilderness. Those lessons are for our learning. You say, well, tonight, you believe in God. That's awesome, but are you trusting God? The difference is their children trusted the Lord and went into the promised land. That first generation of believers did not. You want to stay close to Jesus. And then there's, of course, from the children of Israel all the way to Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12 in a church where Jesus was the pastor. And he was a deceiver. John's gospel tells us that he stole money out of the money bag, that he was always plotting the betrayal of Jesus, starting with Jesus but not finishing. Listen, as believers tonight, we want to understand that following Christ, church, is going to take an effort. You want to stay next to Jesus because it's Jesus that gets us all the way through to the end. But listen to this. It is important that you understand that following Christ takes effort, perseverance. You see, Jack, really? I mean, don't I just have to confess Jesus and then he'll take care of all the rest? Yes, to some degree, but that's not what I'm talking about tonight. He died on the cross for us. He died to remove sin and its power from us. But now that he's done that for us, what love dictates is for you and I to follow him. That's vital to us, to stay close to Jesus. Listen to this, John chapter 8, verse 30. John 8, 30 says, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You know that's a fact today. Do you name the name of Jesus? Say, yes, Pastor, I do. Okay, then listen, this is what's required of us. Yes, he's done everything for us. But in response to that, in love, we are to have his word abiding in us. We are to be in Bible study like you are right now. We are to be reading the Bible for ourselves on our own. We are to be investing in the things of God in our life. Why? Because Jesus says, by that, you growing in the word of God, consuming the word of God, you're going to experience something that is called discipleship. We can get you to sign up to join our discipleship ministries, but better for the Holy Spirit to be working in your heart for you to be able to pursue what God is leading you to do. Could we put you in a headlock and make you get baptized? Sure we could. We have some pretty big people around here. Is that what God wants? Does God want me to wag my finger at you and scold you and come down on you, or to lay out the truth and that a responsive, loving heart to God in appreciation of what Christ has done is going to respond? The answer is yes to that. It's got to be by love. Look, understanding that he loves us generates a response from us. It's vital. You know, we often say, it's not religion, it's relationship. But what do we mean by that? Religion is a sense of discipline whereby I will do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do the other thing, and I'll make sure I give, and I'll make sure I go, and I'll make sure of this and that. Listen, that is a sense of compulsion that is not from the heart. But if, on the other hand, you are born again, the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit has written the law of God upon your heart. And you're going to want to draw close to Jesus. Listen, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But how many of you tonight, you know you love Jesus, and yes, as soon as you think that thought, it comes right back into your ears, I love him, but I don't love him enough. I follow him, but I don't follow him enough. I understand that feeling. I feel the same way. But there's no way that you would want to turn from him, abandon him, or leave him. The sense of your love toward him is so weak and so sad that you're almost ashamed of it. And yet God is so good to us that he takes these feeble attempts of our love for him and he receives them unto himself. It's amazing to me. I have to ask God, Lord, I love you. Give me the power to love you more. Can I have an amen? Amen. You know what I'm talking about? It's bizarre, isn't it? Staying close to Jesus means everything. In Matthew 4:18, it says this, now Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And then he, Jesus, said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed Jesus. What a great statement. As believers, we want to stay close to Jesus Christ. To walk in the same shoes is what that word follow means. To walk in the same shoes, to walk in the same steps. We would use today the word to mimic. You see a little child maybe walking, maybe it's a little girl, and she's walking around the house wearing her mommy's high heels, playing dress up. Think about that as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus. It's absolutely essential that we are to stay focused in these last days and that we're to be persevering after Christ. If we set our... Listen, are you single tonight? Listen to this. If you set your sights on Jesus, you won't have to worry about your singleness. Are you going through a rough marriage? Set your sights on Jesus. Draw near to him and God will take care of the rest. Are you waiting for your spouse or your friend or your fiance to change? Forget it. Keep your eye on Jesus. And watch what he does in your heart. And then, by the way, at the end of the day, if your fiance who you're engaged with or you're thinking about asking that person, if you're not impressed with their Christianity, then maybe it's time to cool that relationship. You say, what do you do if you're married? Get on your knees, fast and pray, and ask God to intercede. By his amazing power, he will intervene and begin to rescue that marriage. God is good. Listen, he believes in marriage. Drawing close to Jesus, you can never lose. When there's men who come to me, and I don't counsel women when it comes to marriage stuff. When men come to me and they say, Pastor, my wife left me. What do I do? I say, there's only one thing to do. And they're thinking, chocolates, flowers. No. There's only one thing to do, I tell them. Get as close to Jesus as you can. And if your wife continues to decide to leave you, then let her know that she's leaving the greatest man of God she's ever seen. Because win, lose, or draw, follow Christ. There's no other place to go. Follow him. It's vital. So we're to follow him in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. The birth of the church, an awesome thing here. Acts 2, 42, the Bible says, and they continued steadfast. Listen. Number one, in the apostles' doctrine. Number two, in fellowship. Number three, in the breaking of bread. And number four, in prayers. Drawing close to Jesus, Christian, listen. Number one, be immersed in the doctrine of God's word. That is the Bible. The Bible. Study it. Yes, come to Bible studies. God has commanded us for us to gather corporately. But study the Bible on your own. See, what do you recommend? Are you serious? I'll tell you. Your Bible, a pencil, and a blank sheet of paper. I really do. Let God speak to you. I can't think of a greater way for you to learn how to hear God's voice than to read the Bible, have a blank sheet of paper and a pencil, and study God's word. So how do you do that? Ask God, when you read the Bible, what does this mean? And then keep reading. Watch what he does. Hey, our God's alive. We don't have to fill in the gap for him. He's there. The Bible says in 1 John, it's the Holy Spirit that will give us the ability to understand God's word. The doctrine. Number two, the fellowship as being Christians. It means that we are to be together. We're to hang out together as believers. Now, I know in a church this size, we all cannot hang out together. But listen, hang on now. Every one of you who are a Christian needs dramatically to find a friend in the body of Christ. Now, I don't mean after service walk up to people and say, will you be my friend? Will you be my friend? Pray, and then listen, show yourself to be friendly to other people. Get involved in ministry and service. Birds of a feather, what? When Christians are serving, that's a great place to be at for a lot of reasons. I'll talk about more of that in a minute. And then the breaking of bread. This is the act of worship as believers in all that we say and do. If we eat, we eat to the glory of God. Church, if we sing to the glory of God. Whatever we do it to the glory of God. And the breaking of bread, that tight, close fellowship. Those are things that God establishes. But you and I have got to be willing. And I know in Southern California, we're so busy, going constantly, that it's hard for us to determine, I'm going to turn off the TV or get out of that setting and I'm going to go make myself available. And yet that's the greatest thing that you can do. And then look at prayer. Prayer that is both corporate as well as individual prayer. In prayer, there's nothing like prayer that unites a body of believers together. Prayer. Are you involved in a small prayer group? You should be. Why not? Join us for prayer and in one of the prayer services that go on here. Pray. Pray with others. The needs are overwhelming. It is amazing to realize, though, that our passionate pursuits reveal our heart's desire. And drawing close to Jesus, I don't know about you, I hope it's true, but I want to be around people who love Jesus. I need them. I need them. So I'm going to give you a couple of things. Number one, how do we stay close to Jesus? Well, this way. Number one is this. We need to love Jesus Christ the most. We need to love Christ the most. You say, Jack, that's too simple. Oh, yeah? Write it down. It's not so simple. Because Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You'll keep my sayings. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord and you do not do the things I say? So, Lord, I want to say to you right now, and as a church collectively, Lord, we love you, we want to love you more, and we want to have that number one in our lives. That's how we are going to flourish as a believer in these days. Also this, listen, Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, nevertheless, Jesus said to the church there, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works. I love that. The first works. They're so simple. or else I will come upon you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Jesus said that to a church, an active church, a powerful church, but they had left their first love. Listen, do you remember a time in your life when Jesus had more of a grip on you than you've left your first love? Do you remember being more open to what God wants to do than you've left your first love? Do you somehow look back at the past and say, oh, I remember when I was, you know, I'd stay up all night talking to my friends about Jesus? Or, listen, if you're not doing that anymore, you've left your first love. The number one question on our hearts and minds should be, Lord, have I abandoned you? And let me tell you this. I'll confess it for you. Every Christian goes through seasons where our love ebb and flows for the Lord. I wish it weren't true. We don't even have to intend it to be so, but we can become so busy. Look, does it not happen in any or every relationship that you know? Don't you have to maintain love relationship, love talk, love everything with the people that you know? When you don't contact people or you don't have interface with people, there's a detachment. Why? Because it causes a coolness or a breeze to blow upon that relationship. It makes it difficult. Also this, how do we stay close to Jesus? We need to listen to what Jesus says. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38, listen to this. Now it happened that as they were there and they entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed Jesus into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Listen. But Martha was distracted. She must have been from California. Distracted with much serving, and she approached Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her. Can you imagine telling God? Tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. He had to say it twice. Martha, Martha. You are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Where's Mary? She's sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to what he's saying. And where's Martha? Freaking out in the kitchen, panicking. She's probably got flour over her face, or her apron's got spaghetti sauce on it, or falafel juice on it, And then, you know, she's cooking, and she probably looks over her shoulder. Man, look at Mary. She's just sitting around. Jesus says, hey, there's a time when sitting around is a great thing to do. Why? Because we're to be listening to him. Also this, how do we stay close to Jesus? We need to be where he is. Notice, Jesus is. Where is he? Well, he's everywhere. But where is he moving? What's he doing? Reaching the homeless? Yeah.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson that takes a look at what Scripture says to the believer about keeping your focus. In fact, that's the title of this mini-series, Keeping Your Focus. It's the last installment of this overall collection of studies called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, have you had a chance to subscribe to Words to the Wise? That's the name of Pastor Jack's devotional, which you can get in your email inbox, Words to the Wise. It's a great way to keep in touch with Real Radio, as well as learn and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. In fact, Words to the Wise is just one of the many resources that you can access with our free smartphone app called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Have you had a chance to download that yet? You really should. Real Life with Jack Hibbs is the free one-stop shop for all media related to Real Radio. It's all right there at your fingertips, and it's all free. Just visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and you'll see the banner right there at the top of the page, and that'll tell you more about it. Realradioactive.org for the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.